This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
And I'm Stephen.
And we are back for what is probably, I don't know, something about episode 6 or something, but we haven't recorded live for a couple of weeks because I've been travelling. Steve, you've got a new toy to talk about.
Yeah, I've got my iPad Pro, so I've been just cuddling it continuously.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I've been cuddling up to it, and Jen's sleeping in the other room.
She's taking Jen's position in the bed.
I mean, Jen looked at it and she thought, nah, can't compete with that. I'll go in the other room. And that was it. it's really a bigger iPad.
Just a bigger iPad, yeah.
And it's still lovely. Oh. I've become like a bit of an Apple, like, I only became like that. I never queued up for it. I went up there and I even cared about the colour, but I thought, no, I'm not going to be like that. I'll have the silver and make do. Just as I arrived, they literally brought in a pallet off the truck.
Yeah.
And within 30 seconds of saying, I really wanted space grey, the guy walked out, turned around, came back with one. Said, I won't even bother logging it on, just pay for it and go. I was like, yee! Yeah. And then I was like, cuddling it all the way home. I should have been driving, but it's amazing what you can do with your knees.
Yeah. So you've got the mind boggles. So you've got an iPad Pro. When Andy's back, because obviously Andy and Paul aren't joining us this evening, but when Andy's back on, he'll have an iPad Pro.
He's already got one.
He's got one, yeah?
He got one before me.
And Paul's got a Nintendo Game Watch. Well,
Paul's got a Mini, but when he holds it, it looks like
an iPad Pro.
Super. So, that's very sizist, isn't it? But, no, bless him. But he's not all into it, really. I mean, I like it because I'm 44 and I'm going blind. That is honestly why I like it. And I don't have to squint so much. I still wear my glasses, but it's so powerful. Like, I was on 3D on New York. It's a really good way to demo it. As long as you've got a good internet connection, because you have to like download all the buildings. But if you put the 3D on and look over New York and spin it around, it handles it so well. It's like very powerful. You can tell how powerful it is. And that's, no multitasking's all seamless. It's all, really powerful.
I can't wait to have a play with yours and then ultimately get one myself.
Yeah. And then get an iPad.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Did you get to see I know you did, the Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, I watched that earlier today. Anyone who watches this and knows us as people will know that I'm not a huge Marvel person. But I loved The Winter Soldier, so I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? I know it's not specifically Star Wars related, but it's Star Wars adjacent, being part of the family.
Yeah, well, you said it earlier on, it's Avengers 2.0. Big 2.5.
Yeah.
2.0. But because it is, I mean, they're all in there, aren't they? So it's kind of really blending it all together. And the quality of it's up there, and that's what Winter Soldier was. I thought Winter Soldier was going to be like, well, we'll dumb this down, we won't do so many big cut scenes and everything, and it was just as good as Avengers for me, Age of Ultron, Winter Soldier. So if this is anything to go by, it would be really good.
Yeah, I love the look of it, and I watched it again earlier before we started recording, and looking in the wide shots at some of the little characters that are running around. I'm going to have to watch that a little bit closer.
Yeah.
We're expecting Spider-Man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
He's going to be in there.
Yeah, and there will be... What did I say? Cutscenes? No, the set pieces are going to be amazing, I think.
Yeah.
That was what I loved with the big ships and that in the other one. It was just so good. Not so keen on that guy with the wings. I always forget his name.
Yeah, Falcon.
It's a bit like... in the Avengers, Jeremy Renner's character.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Some of them work on the page and they don't really translate off as well as the others.
Is it Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner, yeah.
Yeah,
Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. No, and I'm sure they'll flesh him out. He was all right in Winter Soldier. He's got a good character. But it's kind of sometimes they have so many that they all end up getting spread thin.
Yeah.
And, you don't want your main ones spread too thin.
No, I want this to be mainly about Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, because those two work really well together.
Yeah, and they've had that dynamic where they've been love-hate relationship all the way through, haven't they?
Yeah.
So it's kind of really, it really hitting off that, really. So, yeah, it'd be good. I'll probably go and I'll be interested in seeing that at the movies, I think.
Yeah, I'm there.
I mean, I'm not seeing Star Wars, so I might as well see that.
You'll see Star Wars. We'll all get to see it together at some point.
They're 50 million up already.
I know. Don't burn the list. It's on the show notes. I wanted to say, you mentioned cutscenes, and it made me suddenly think of video games. Did you pick up Battlefront?
No.
You didn't? I know Andy cancelled his.
I'm probably going to. Andy's got it.
Oh, I thought he said he cancelled it.
He got it. He got it because he wanted the all those big set pieces.
The Jakku.
And that's where he got it. But I'm kind of, I only ever play on a Friday, so I'm kind of governed by whatever game everyone else gets. And they've all got Black Ops, and I hate it.
Right.
So I've been doing other stuff for the last few weeks, but I'm going to either end up being forced to get that. But I would rather get Battlefront, which looks like far more fun.
Yeah. I would, if it had a campaign mode for single player, I would get it. But I think playing online with more experienced gamers, I'd spend 99% of my time respawning and 1% of the time getting stressed out.
However, I do see your point, but I do get the feeling that it's a lot more run and gun and easy to pick up, less reliant on skill. Without saying it's not a skillful game, you probably get good at it, but I think it's designed more that anyone can pick it up and have a good game off the bat. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're interested in getting it, I'll get it, and you know, we can all play. I'll quite enjoy that because, you know, it makes sense. There's Star Wars coming out, and we're all geeks, and
yeah,
off we go. But you know, a lot of my friends have got it, and they said, like, running around as Darth Vader and that is just awesome.
Yeah, it's something you do on the load screen, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. My friend at work's got it. And the Endor, I think there's... can you ride the speeders on Endor? I think you can, can't you?
I'd imagine it's all open world. I don't know a great deal about it.
No.
I kind of checked out. When they said no campaign mode, I kind of checked out a bit, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. And I don't... The other reason I wasn't... Are any spoilers in it towards the film?
I don't think so. I think Battle of Jakku kind of sets up that location for the film.
Right.
But I don't think there's a great deal in there.
Okay.
To spoil it.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see. I probably will get it. I'll probably pick it up and just have a go. I mean, there's nothing not to like, really, if you're a Star Wars fan, is there?
No. Well, I'll definitely be having a look when you get that. I'll come down, play on your iPad and watch you play that game, and then I don't have to part with any cash. All right, let's talk about some proper Star Wars stuff then. We got, last time we recorded, the four of us, we spoke about what we believe to be the last trailer for The Force Awakens, trailer 3. And then a couple of days later, they dropped that international trailer, the Japanese trailer.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Well, the Japanese one.
The Japanese one, yeah, because it was quite a bit different from... Yeah, trailer, I mean, 3, right?
There was a lot of editing in there, but it was, I forget what the key points were now, but I didn't understand why they did it. Like, because there gets a saturation point for me, and I'm almost there.
Yeah, oh, I am. I've hit it now. I've gotten to the point where I've just seen, I think, enough.
Yeah, because the problem is, for me, what I'd like them to do in an ideal world is take 20 minutes of the film and only show trailers from that 20 minutes. So the worst case is you know 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
If you have your head on and not watch all those trailers and start diagnosing and dissecting, you could pretty much, and people have, done
piece it together,
scene by scene of the whole...
Yeah. Have you seen that that supercut?
Yeah.
Of every minute. Oh, it's far too revealing.
It is. And I was watching earlier, because I went through the trailer list you put up, and I was like, shit, I've just worked out what's happened there. And I was trying to, like, forget it, like, la, 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 trying to make myself forget what I just saw.
Yeah, because I know, I'm there with you.
I don't need to saturate the market, do they? Everyone's going to go and watch it.
Yeah, well, that playlist I sent you earlier, you've now seen all the TV spots, right? There's nine TV spots in total.
And they're all variations on the same.
They're all variations, and I think they've pretty much... They've tried to do what you just said. So they've taken it from perhaps the first, maybe the first reel, certainly the first act of the film, very early on. And the first clip that was released, it was on, there was something on Jimmy Kimmel the other night. It was absolutely fantastic. It's Ray and Finn. Yeah. And this is the bit where I realised that I've seen enough now, because that gave me a full taste. It wasn't just little snippets.
No.
It hit like every part of the palette,
ship,
didn't it?
The ship gets blown up.
The ship gets blown up. It's so... The music, them running together, the screaming, the shout, the sense of urgency, everything. It was just... I mean, I know it's only 15 seconds, but Christ, that to me was the cherry on the cake.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. It was. But I was kind of... Now we're seeing complete scenes and not snippets.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, I don't want to see it. And of course, you can't help but watch it.
No.
Like, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. You know?
Well,
anyone out there on a similar theme, anyone out there who's familiar with a game coming out on the PS4 next year called No Man's Sky, which has had so much hype now that they can't manage the hype. The company that's making it, Hello Games, has got 12 employees. This game is going to, you know, it's been set up to be the game that ends all games, the games of a decade and a generation.
Can it live up to that?
Can't live up to it. And I just worry that, you know, we get like that with Star Wars.
Well, aren't we... Are you not afraid that we're there now with this? Because, I mean, something I didn't put in the show notes, but it came out yesterday, is on... I should say that almost everything we're going to talk about this evening is already on talkstarwars.co.uk, so feel free to jump on the homepage, have a little sniff around, and you'll find these articles on there. But John Boyega made a statement yesterday. I can't remember where it was. I think it might have been in Empire. I think I read it in The Guardian. He said he's not sure how the film's going to be received.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I'm trying not to read too much into that. I think it's probably because it's going to do something bold, which we all know what we're afraid of happening at the end. But he doesn't know how it's going to be received. But I know this isn't in our show notes, so just bear with me. Can this film live up to the hype?
I would say almost certainly no, but we are in the realm of totally different level, because there's no way I was looking forward to this old film as I am to this one. But, you know, we're in the realm of Superman, aren't we, Man of Steel, where the trailers were just so exceptionally good that unless the film was a 2-hour version of that trailer to the same quality, you were never going to live up to it. You know, and I think we're there. And in kind of now we know that, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we won't expect too much and we'll get better than we thought. You know, I just hope it's as... I mean, you know, going crossing the line with the death of someone. I mean, I read the other day that even Finn's maybe, you know, it could even be... that I was reading an article where it said they can't win. They've got to handle... If they do handle a death on there, it's got to be handled so delicately.
Yeah.
Because you've got to do it poignantly if it's an existing character, and like so sensitively that it's like, you know, perfect. If there's a new character, you're screwed because you haven't built up a relationship with him.
Yeah, there's no, if it was John Boyega, we haven't invested anything in him to warrant losing him or to care really when we lose. I'd care because I like John Boyega and I want to see him in the future films. But the way they need to handle it, if they did kill off, I'm not going to say who we think it is, because I don't want to drop, I haven't dropped a spoiler warning, so we'll talk around it. But if they do take out a character we're familiar with, and there's a number of them in there, they'd have to do it in such a way that we, the audience, would want that to happen.
Yeah.
And if that's a sacrifice for the benefit of others, we would have to want that. And I think I think a good writer could perhaps craft a scenario where we would want that.
Yeah. I think my personal feeling is there's more than one.
Really?
I think this film is going to set itself up for a dark film, which is Empire, the equivalent to Empire.
Yeah.
And I think there's more than one death, at least two. One of the reasons is we discussed the person that Daisy Ridley's character is hunched over.
Yes.
And we couldn't really see who that was, except that it was possibly a man and not the main person who we thought was going to snuff it. So I honestly think there's going to be two, and I think this film is going to lead on to a much darker film. And this is kind of what they're saying, the equivalent to A New Hope.
Yeah.
In certain, where Obi-Wan dies, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But then, see, the difference is, going on to the mythology side now, you can kind of accept a Jedi dying because there's always they can always come back.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and if you're killing off other people, you really are closing the door.
That's very final, isn't it? There's no coming back from it.
No, and that's what worries me. And I'm a kid, and I don't want to see my heroes die.
Yeah, I mean, I'm now at a point where I don't want to see it. I'm actually actively kind of dreading it now.
Gone from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, I really, at the start, when this film was cast, I thought, great, I'm glad the original three are back. If the one of them decides not to continue on, or maybe more of them decide not to continue on, I don't think I'll mind. This is about starting afresh, start telling a new story. But we've just spent the past 2 years with them watching this thing take shape, and I'm so in love with these legacy characters.
Yeah,
all of them. I mean, Carrie Fisher. I wrote something on the site yesterday about how I've always loved Carrie Fisher, and I'm just so in love with her again. I just think she is absolutely adorable.
Mm.
She's whip smart. She's so funny. She's lightning fast. She was on that Jimmy Kimmel. There's a playlist on the YouTube channel, actually. You can watch them all. It's about 10 minutes long. She's hilarious. Absolutely brilliant.
And it makes you wonder. They have gone balls in with this, but they didn't need to. They didn't need to at all. They could have just said, Star Wars coming out next year. You ain't getting nothing.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone, and I don't believe it would have affected sales, and this is the Disney side of it and where I get a bit corporate about the whole thing, you know, and I think, is it driven by them or is it JJ? Is it, you know, and it's kind of, I know it's a money game and all that, but it's just a bit, I really have reached that point now where I've overcooked it. But I was going to say this about Star Wars. I mean, sorry, someone just walked in. I mean, Star Wars was the opposite, wasn't it? It didn't have anything.
Star Trek.
No, Star Wars, the original.
It
didn't have any build-up.
No, it had no profile at all.
Came out of nowhere. Mm. That's where you get shocked. That's where our people were like, oh, my God, have you seen this thing? It's like nothing you've seen before.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the other end of that scale now. Things work differently, don't they, now?
Yeah.
You know, it's a different animal.
The only thing is, I think we've had a bit of a palate cleanser with the prequel trilogy, because everyone, when Phantom Menace was coming out, everybody got this sort of hyped up for that. You know, people camping out in the street for 3 weeks in a queue, turning up dressed as Darth Maul, the character they didn't know anything about. Everyone wanted it to be Star Wars again. They wanted that lightning in a bottle. Yeah. With the Phantom Menace, and there was no way it could live up to it. And I know we all share similar opinions on the prequel trilogy, but the Phantom Menace is not the worst one out of the three, and it still had a lot of traditional filmmaking elements to it.
Ron Howard was going to direct that, wasn't he?
Apparently
he got offered it,
and then George decided to do it himself.
Yeah, and you're right. And the other thing that you hit on there, which is really important to remember, is that a lot of 20-year-olds to 25-year-olds love those films.
Yeah.
That don't like them.
Yeah, to them that is their Star Wars.
Yeah, and that's the difference here. We might be destined to never see another Star Wars we like.
Mm.
And well, that would be really sad.
It will be. I don't. You know, it goes back to the original question. Can this film live up to the hype? No, it can't. But does it mean it's going to be a bad film? No. It's still going to be a fantastic film, but I'm sure that there are hardcore fans that will come out of that screening and say, that wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah. Disney will want to be setting up the foundation for a cash cow. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if Harrison Ford's character or Mark Hamill or, you know, Carrie Fisher's character get killed off. I should have really said Han, Luke and Leia then. But yeah. I was like, don't say the words, it won't happen. But like, you know, to them, it won't be as important. But for the diehard fans, and then don't forget at the start of all this, the whole point of bringing JJ in was because he was a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And that he would be true to the characters. So maybe we'll be shocked and no one will die.
Well,
Or some incidentals. You know, maybe some incidentals again. Maybe Harrison Ford has turned around, you know, and said, you know what, JJ? I've loved every second of this. I want in. I want in. I am in here.
Well, I hope that's the case. But we're going to. There's a story a bit further down our list, which I think we can probably cover something that ties into the point you've just made a little bit more in depth. But let's jump through some of these other bits. Whilst I was away, laying around a pool, I spent a day awash with news from Entertainment Weekly. Did you see any of these bits that came out on Twitter from Anthony Bresnik and EW?
No, go on.
Oh, there's so much news that came out in like 1 or 2 days. Little bits and pieces like the fact that Princess Leia is no longer a princess. She's now a general.
Yes, I read that. Yeah. And that, yes, and that, I got that impression anyway from the, because you see a war room scene, don't you?
In
the,
yes.
And it kind of made sense because she didn't look like she had her normal flouncy princess outfits
no,
on.
No, she was in fatigues, wasn't she? She's all business.
Well, it kind of made sense anyway because a princess of what? I mean.
Yeah, Alderaan's gone.
Yeah, so that kind of made sense. And that's kind of a nice little twist.
That war room scene you saw, did you spot the other characters in that?
No, go on.
There was, on one side of the table, on the left-hand side of the table, was Carrie Fisher's actual real-life daughter, Billy Lord.
Ah.
She was, she'd been announced as being in the movie, and everyone attached her to the role of a young Princess Leia in a flashback or a false vision or something.
Oh, okay, and it was actually, she's actually a character in
A character in the film. I think she might be an aide or something like that, a lieutenant in whatever the resistance is now. But she's actually on screen in that shot, looking very official.
Ah, that was a good spot.
Yeah, and on the right-hand side.
Now, I'm just looking, so at the back with the buns.
She's blonde, she's got fair hair.
The mini buns.
I think so. I haven't got the image to hand.
There's a guy who looks very much like Donald Sutherland on the left.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And on the other side of the table, on the far right, you'll see Admiral Ackbar.
Yes, fish face.
Old fishy chops.
Yeah, and 3PO's red arm, which was, I mean, that was, well, how long ago was that revealed? Like in a toy, wasn't it? About a year ago, a year and a half ago even.
Yeah, there's a couple of other bits that are quite interesting about that. The way C-3PO looks now. I'm going to be putting something. Actually, I think something's gone up on the site already about it, so I probably won't go into it anymore. But an O2 TV spot came out this week, an advert. I don't know if you saw that. It was only about 35 seconds long.
Yes, yeah.
Did you see it? It was gorgeous.
Yeah. The one in the desert?
Yeah. So it's R2 and 3PO walking through the desert and they meet up with BB-8 and it's all just for O2 priority.
I was thinking, is this a trailer? And then, well done, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's footage from the film. I think it was actually custom made, this trailer. So it's not, there's nothing in there to worry about narratively. But one thing I did notice about C-3PO was that both his legs were gold. And in the original movies, he had one silver leg and one gold leg.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he was always, George always said that C-3PO was like the family car, you know, he was like a hot rod that had been cobbled together from bits and pieces. And in the prequels, we saw that. We saw Anakin build him and he was like that skeletal thing. What is that puppet? The Asian puppet thing. Is it Kabuki Theatre, the puppets?
Yeah.
He was like one of those, wasn't he, in that film? And then in the second film, he had all the grey and scratched up, dirty plating on.
Yeah.
And then the interesting part is, if you jump a film to A New Hope, he's got one, everything's gold, but he's got one silver leg.
Oh, I can see it now, yeah.
Then in Empire, he's got one silver leg. Yeah, it's just like the last. Now, I've always thought, I'm sure I heard somewhere, that the lady, the artist who helped bring Ralph McQuarrie's C-3PO design to life, the sculptor, I'm pretty sure that I read, I should really research this, I suppose, but I'm pretty sure I read that she died before it was completed. And I always thought that the silver leg was perhaps a tribute to that.
Nod to her.
And that's, I've picked that up somewhere along the line.
And it's stuck in your head.
It's stuck in my head, and that's what I've always accepted as just being true. But he ended Return of the Jedi with one silver leg. So now, he's got two gold legs, one red arm, you know, like that old, like if you have to get a replacement door for your cheap little car, and it's usually something red on a little yellow car, isn't it? That's what he looks like to me. But the one and only time in all of Star Wars that C-3PO has been completely gold was Revenge of the Sith. When everything else went into the toilet, C-3PO was
his best.
Yeah, which leads me to believe that he's the ultimate evil, and everything that happens is his fault. Maybe I won't lay that all at his feet, but
he looks like he's got a silver pelvis now.
Oh, is he?
And gold. I'm just looking at the image now. It looks like he's got a red arm, left arm.
Yeah.
But then the pelvis bit.
Maybe the arm's red because he's been polishing his pelvis.
Yes.
It's just a really shiny pelvis.
He's been playing with himself, a dirty little android. You look at images of him, it's all over the shop. There are different bits.
Oh, yeah.
Even the design of his chest plate is different in some shots by the looks of it. It's interesting.
He's looking pretty fantastic now.
Good shot of his leg in Return of the Jedi when Luke, the chair, you can totally see it there. That is his right leg silver. You know, I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
You're going on too many holidays where you can research this.
Eagle eyes, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Luke in some of the stuff that came out from EW that week when we got the news that Princess Leia is no longer a princess. They didn't shine any light on the Where is Luke mystery. But what they did say was that is all by design.
Oh, okay. So it's not that he's not in it a lot. It's they're keeping that from us.
Yes, they're keeping that from us because I think it's pretty clear that Luke is the MacGuffin. He's the thing everyone's trying to seek out. Now, you know, last time we spoke, you pointed out that image. Daisy Ridley was hunched over a body. She's crying and we're trying to work out who that body belongs to. I've started to think that might be the scene where Luke enters the film for the first time. Because if you look at her face, she's really well lit. And I'm getting a Gandalf the Grey kind of... Well, when Gandalf returns in the second Lord of the Rings, Gandalf the White, he comes in a flash of light, doesn't he? I'm starting to get the feeling that we might see Luke rock up right at the end of the film, Gandalf style, to kick Kylo Ren's ass.
And how long was Luke actually filming for at Pinewood?
He was there for some time.
Okay.
He was there for some time in the summer.
He's going to have a considerable part, isn't he? However long
I don't know. I mean, some of that time could have been rehearsal time.
Yeah.
And you don't know what he's doing. I mean, there was a thing that came out yesterday. I put an article up on Talk Star Wars this morning that said the things people have been overreacting to today. Because there was a few things that I woke up to, a few emails I woke up to and I thought, oh, this is just, that's not accurate. One of the things was people were making a big fuss about the fact that Mark Hamill let slip that he's going to be shooting episode 8. So that, in fact, I've just jumped the whole story ahead here. So we're just covering this Mark Hamill stuff now. He said he's doing an episode of The Flash and then he's on to episode 8 and he's grown a beard back and all that sort of stuff. So people are saying Mark Hamill's let a big secret out of the bag. It's a spoiler.
He ain't dying.
He's let everyone know he ain't dying. What's to say? What? Alec Guinness died in A New Hope, and he was back for Empire Strikes Back. But the other thing I thought was, what's to say Luke starts this film alive? There's no guarantees.
No.
The first time we see Luke might be a force ghost. That might account for the light.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, nothing's been spoiled. Everything's up in the air. It could go anywhere, narratively.
And this has been so well designed, this whole trailer fest.
Yeah.
To pull away from the real truth.
Yeah.
Because that would be awesome. And then I'll think, actually, you know what? You can let someone die then. Just make it an incidental character that we don't like care about.
Yeah. Just let one of the androids die.
Yeah. Because the more I see of Harrison Ford in it, don't say his name, the more I'm liking where his character's going.
Oh,
it's very dark. He's not so cocky. He's like, you know what? I've been through the shit.
Yeah. There's some great stuff in those TV spots, though.
Yeah.
When he hands Ray the gun.
Yes.
And he says, you might need this. It's just, I mean, that's equal parts Han Solo and Indiana Jones on it. That's all the wonky smile, swagger. And he's just, and then there's another shot of him and Chewie coming out of a bunker with their guns blazing, like Butch in Sundance. Okay.
And the but I'm just looking to see if you've actually got it on the chat list, but where the whole stormtrooper with the
sword,
what do you call that thing, like a lightsaber.
It's a gun. I think it's his blaster. I think it extends out and becomes. Yeah, they've got a name in him, in
they've
canon.
Got to make those in bulk, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. They're like someone mentioned online the other day that they think that the stormtroopers have been raised, and this is one of the points under the Mark Hamill thing. They've been raised to view the Jedi, and in particular to view Luke Skywalker, as the ultimate evil. So they must be trained to fight against people with lightsabers.
But you don't make every I don't know if it's every gun, but you don't make those things. You've got to mass produce those to be cost effective.
Yeah.
So how many Jedi are there? That's what makes me wonder about why would you have those if no one else. But then is everyone using lightsabers? Because you've got Finn whacking it about all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and he's no Jedi. You know, you can tell he's not old. You know, he's got kind of, he wants to be a Jedi, but I don't think he is. I really don't think Finn is anything to, he might be in the future, but he's untrained completely, isn't he? We know that much.
Yeah, I think he can probably equal those stormtroopers with the close quarter combat with those weapons, because he's been trained to do that. Yeah. Whether or not he's force sensitive, I don't know. I think Rey's going to turn out to be our force sensitive one.
If we were actually in Star Wars and it was a real universe, well, it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Of course.
But we would buy a lightsaber. You wouldn't go, oh yeah, they're only for Jedi's. We'd be out there on eBay buying that. we buy them now, and they're tubes with a bulb at the end.
Yeah.
Like, everyone would have a lightsaber. We'd all be flinging around. No one have any limbs.
Yeah, it's like that Family Guy sketch, isn't it, where they hang them up and use them to catch bugs.
We'd all be like, oh, I can only talk. I haven't got any legs or arms. I've lost them. And the trouble is, once you've whacked your arm off with a lightsaber, there's no going back, because you cauterize the wound, don't
you? Yeah.
Going down to Medoc and getting that sewn back on.
I am pretty sure that somebody's going to lose a limb in this movie.
Yeah, there's going to be limbs of flying.
Yeah, but my theory that Anakin's original blue lightsaber is cursed.
Well, can you have a curse? Is it? Are we talking spiritual shit here?
No, I'm talking narratively. I think that whoever possesses that lightsaber for even a short period of time has terrible luck afterwards.
Yeah, because it looks like, I mean, you don't know, but it might be that hand on R2. It could be the whole arm. Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, going back. If that's Luke, can't be a ghost, because that's got to be Luke.
Well, that I think is the flashback, and this is the thing. I reckon that the First Order probably want to train stormtroopers who can combat Jedi, and at some point the fear was that Luke was going to raise another Jedi army, and then we see the Knights of Ren in the rain in that one trailer, don't we? We've seen the Knights of Ren in the dark and the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's them having just destroyed everybody in that Jedi academy of Luke's, so they've wiped out all the Jedi, so they haven't got to worry anymore. That's loosely, I think that's probably where we are. So that stuff with Luke putting his hand on R2, I think, is in the flashback.
Could be. I mean, you say academy, it looked like an encampment to me.
Yeah, somebody
like
said
a very sort of thrown together loose kind of.
Kevin ragtag. Smith was saying he thinks that the bodies we're seeing are Ewoks.
Ooh.
And that might be Endor, perhaps where Kylo Ren goes to get the helmet.
Yeah. That the helmet, I would say that will tie in the helmet.
Yeah,
and you know we're in the same solar system anyway, because we're already talking about the desert planet where the super destroyer crashes, and
so we think that's the same place, don't we? Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see the remnants of the Return of the Jedi Death Star. It wouldn't stay in orbit necessarily. Its orbit would degrade. Because it wouldn't completely blow up, would it? Or even though it kind of does at the end of Return of the Jedi, physics now, the way they treat large objects in films is different. And I wonder if that's crashed down, and that may form part of the whole film as well. On end,
that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Seeing a whole sort of mountain of
of Death Star.
Death Star.
I mean, that'd be awesome.
But there's a lot of interest. There's so many ways they can go with it. Can you imagine being involved in this? How awesome it would have been.
Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Oh,
it would be fantastic.
It would be amazing. So, yeah, I think that either is a flashback, like you say, or Luke is possibly already gone. Maybe a whole portion of the film is a flashback. Maybe we'll cover the last 30 years in some way. Maybe that's the hidden story.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think that's what Lupita Nyong'o's character is about. I think she is the... her character is a 1,000-year-old pirate named Maz Kanata. And she's a mystic. And she will, I think, if what I'm hearing is correct, she will give Han, Finn and Rey a vision of what's happened... Since.
And we might see that. Oh, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
And we'll see some of the stuff that's
happening. Now, that the voice you can hear on the TV spots?
Yes. Yeah. But it's her voice we've heard the most now, I think.
Yeah. So who is... There's two characters I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
There's more than that. But you might be able to shed some light. The guy off Heroes, is it Greg Grunberg? Is it Greg Grunberg?
Yeah. I don't think he's got a very big part.
Oh, okay. Because I couldn't see him in anything. And then you've got the guy out of... X-Men, the one with the spikes, looks like a hedgehog. That was his gift. Ken Lung's in it, isn't he?
Is he in this one? Oh yeah, he's a general. Yeah, he's in that. He's in one of the shots with Leia.
Oh, I didn't see him. See him. I went earlier. I was looking. I couldn't see him. Okay.
Yeah, he's part of the Resistance, but the Resistance now look very much like the Empire do with their uniforms.
Yeah, it's all very like
it's like it switched over.
It's like vegetable soup now. It's all been mixed up, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Is Admiral Akbar played by the same guy?
Yeah. Tim Rose, I think his name is.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
that's back. The sort of stuff I like. The fact that you can... It's almost like when they did the prequels. The one good thing about the prequels was that they didn't need to put any makeup on the Emperor. They just said, you're the right age now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they did... If you look at episode 2, they did make him up ever so slightly. They tried to age him up, and then they decided just to go with it by the time they got to the third one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really... And hopefully Admiral Akbar... I mean, how do you make a fish look older? But he looks a bit more older in the gills, doesn't he?
More scaly.
Yes.
Grey around the gills.
Yeah, but that'd be good.
Talking of the Emperor, we're looking at the new bad guy, the new big bad... is a character called Supreme Leader Snoke, played by Andy Serkis.
Yes, who we've seen nothing of,
We've
right?
seen nothing so far. Mm. And he was interviewed as part of this EW coverage, which was absolutely fascinating. He spoke a lot about how that character was developed. They had no idea what it was at the start. He had no idea what it looked like.
Mm.
He just said, one of the things that caught some people's imaginations was he said he was in a room with Adam Driver and Donald Gleeson. And he was on a platform 25 feet in the air, talking down to them in his mocap suit. And they had the Kongifier microphone on so that when he spoke, his voice echoed out all the speakers.
Hmm.
So people have started to speculate that Supreme Leader Snoke might be 25 feet tall, which I think is not the case. I think it's more likely that he was standing on a podium or something.
He was up a ladder.
He was doing some wallpapering.
He was behind on his round. He cleaned like a load of windows. Then there's a Jawa down the bottom. And he goes, oh, here comes the window cleaner! And that ties into the first A New Hope. And that's why that Jawa says that. It's all making sense.
All these little pieces are just dropping into place, aren't they? It's like magic.
I think this is... They're on... I mean, you know when they first CGI'd Yoda?
Yeah.
Out like it was like, what the... Puppet.
Yes.
And when they went back and CGI'd the puppet, which was even weirder, you didn't know where you were. They'd be so careful, haven't they, with CGI on a main character?
Yeah, I think so. But look where we are now.
Yeah, look at Planet of the Apes.
Look at the... yes, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Because that's him, that's Andy Serkis, isn't it, playing Caesar. And the first 20 minutes of War of... What was the last one? Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, wasn't it?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, right. Well, whatever the second one was, that one. He, the first 20 minutes was all CG.
Yeah.
All CG characters, and it was captivating and engaging.
And I think the difference is, they never mocapped Yoda. You'd never had mocap. now with Moke, it's all in the movement, isn't it?
Yes.
Once you've got that and the eyes right, everything else is kind
of... Yeah, the eyes are the biggest traitors, aren't they? Yeah. And at least now with this, it sounds very much like the design of this Supreme Leader Snoke is going to be quite alien. Mm. So in terms of us being able to relate to that character, because he's going to be more of a monster, I'm hearing that it's sort of snake-headed with very difficult facial structures, it's probably going to be less of a problem.
And I think we're all thinking back to Clones, where you had that awful bloody character with the six arms. Oh, what was his name now?
General Grievous.
General Grievous. I hated that character. He was just awful, wasn't he? He didn't know whether he was a cyborg or...
Yeah.
The bits of flesh he did have wouldn't have worked in biology.
No, but,
you know, it was all a bit weird, really. And that's kind of... You know, we're getting flashbacks all the time of the first three Cretinous films. And I don't think we need to worry too much. I think anything Andy Serkis touches is just brilliant. I think he wouldn't entertain even doing it unless he believed in the part. He's not only, you know, I feel sorry for him, really, because he's known for mocap, but as an actor, he's fantastic.
He really is, isn't he? Yeah. That little turn he had in Ultron this year was brilliant.
Yeah.
He's very good. I saw him in some stuff at the start of his career before he was Gollum. And he was really good, really captivating.
Yeah.
Good director as well.
Yeah, and I think he's you know, there's so many good actors in this film. I think, mate, we're building it up again.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? But if you look on the show notes, there's a thing there that says Mark Hamill confirmed for episode 8. I know we've just discussed that, but the next part, him and Rian Johnson... The chemistry that's on display, not just, I mean, that's for episode 8. I'm already starting to get good feelings about that with him and Rian Johnson playing around on Twitter with some of the things they're backwards and forwards on there is really funny. Definitely got chemistry. And when I was watching those Jimmy Kimmel clips, I just watched them today, the cast were together on there. You had Adam Driver, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Carrie Fisher, all of them are bouncing off of each other.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. When a group of actors have come together and they've bonded like that, that's a really good sign to me.
Yeah, and Ford was there as well, was he?
Ford was there. He did a couple of sketches.
Of course he did in a hot dog.
This was him and Chewbacca doing a thing where Chewie was going to commit suicide and he had to talk him down off the roof. It's very, very funny. It's very, very funny. And it's just so nice to see Harrison Ford having fun with this after all these years, you know. He's an absolute sweetheart.
I mean, really, Harrison Ford, he's lucky if the film didn't kill him, real life would. He's fallen off a ramp, hasn't he? And
had
a plane crash.
Yeah, Christ, yeah, crashing, dropping that plane onto a golf course.
Yeah, I mean, he'd do anything to get a hole in one, that bloke.
Ah, there we are. talking of Harrison, he was on the... he did an Omaze video last week. Did you see that?
No.
Omaze is a charity which helps raise money for UNICEF, amongst
others. Oh, and he jumped in on the Skype calls.
Magical, wasn't it? Absolutely magical.
Well, you can imagine that. You'd like be like... I just wet myself.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting the way everybody, like all the Americans are screaming and crying, and then you've got the English guy from Bristol, and when he pops up, he's saying, "Hello, Mr. Ford, how are you, sir?" He's so, so polite.
Yeah.
Quintessentially British.
Well, okay, this whole film, talking about sort of Britain and our lovely colonial friends, it is kind of a weird film because they are, all the Star Wars films, I mean, the exception, I don't know about 1, 2 and 3, but they are British films with American directors and actors, aren't they? And a lot of British actors. But they are essentially British-made films. I know a lot of people would either be surprised or wouldn't want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. But, the original trilogy certainly shot here.
Yeah, I mean, are there a lot... What's the involvement now with... Is it more, you know... I mean, obviously, they farm stuff out, particularly CGI, and it goes all around the world. But are the technicians, like in The New Hope and Empire and Return of the Jedi... Are a lot of the technicians still British, or is it a bit of both now?
Yeah, there is actually one in particular that I'll come to in a second. But a lot of the, obviously the set builders, all the electricians, all the gaffers and whatever, is all British. They came over here. The original movies were non-union, American money, brought over here so that George could work outside the Hollywood system. and the tax incentives that we were offering made it really affordable to shoot in the UK. The prequel trilogy were all shot in Australia at Fox Studios.
Right, okay. Wow, and I didn't know that.
Again, that's for tax reasons. They went there, they got a better deal to go
and
shoot.
It's a bit like a lot of the stuff in New Zealand at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. And that's why you get a lot of the characters that are in the second and third prequel movies were Antipodean. Some of the, they'd recast some of the characters so that they were... And like Jango Fett, the actor that plays... Tamura Morrison, who plays Jango Fett, is an Aussie. Or actually, he might even be a Kiwi.
Oh, God, that was fair. The worst bit of that film, all the Australian accents.
Yeah, but that's...
all
the
clones.
That's why. Look at the original films. All the Empire were Brits because they were all over here.
We were made out to be evil. There's nothing wrong with the
Australian. It just works, doesn't it?
It's but just, now, I don't think you'd have an Australian accent in a galaxy far, far away.
It's very strange, isn't it? I mean, the Daisy Ridley's got a beautiful British accent in The Force Awakens. It's called... it's called RP, the accent that she has. Mm. It's received pronunciation, so it's a very sort of non-regional British dialect. Yeah. Not like me, little barrow boy.
That's kind of how they do it, isn't it? I guess the British actor, the accent is vanilla, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not got any twang on it. So
it's very clipped.
Where you go. It's like all Roman films are all British accent.
Yeah.
It's like, why are they British accent? They're Romans. You know, it's just kind of weird, but it kind of works. It's like, if you have to choose an accent, I guess you go with that one.
Yeah, because it's nice and clean. And then you've got the warmth and the rounded vowels of the American accent, which makes it a lot more pleasant to listen to somebody like John Boyega do an American accent on screen as the Stormtrooper. Makes them earthier and more relatable, I think.
Yeah, because you can't have... It would seem like, three weddings and a funeral if it was all really British. Too much, it would do it. It would just overkill it, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you know.
You can argue that perhaps it did in certain places.
Star Wars to three weddings and a funeral.
It's good. Oh, three weddings and a funeral. Is that the prequel to four weddings and a funeral?
Yes, it's the one before. It's really crap.
Yeah, no one heard of that one. Four is the magic number. one of the British technicians that I was hinting at when we started talking about how the films are made over here is a gentleman named Brian Muir, who was the talented gent that made the very first Darth Vader face mask.
Yeah.
He's a sculptor. He worked on Star Wars, the 1977 Star Wars, and produced that faceplate and helmet combination. He also had a hand in designing a couple of the background droids and the stormtroopers and all that sort of thing. Well, Ralph McQuarrie did the initial designs and then he made them real by sculpting and casting them.
Yeah.
Now, he returned to Star Wars for Episode 7.
How did you find that out? Have you Googled that or you looked on?
No, it was bizarre. Somebody got word to me that Brian had joined Rogue One, which is the next film that comes out next year.
Yeah.
So I emailed him and asked for confirmation. He put a notice out, I think it was like the next day or something, he put a notice out on his Facebook page saying, just started work on Rogue One. And it pretty much went unnoticed. So I took that as, he's confirmed it himself. So I ran a piece on the site for it. And then that was picked up and run on makingstarwars.net, which is a really good place to go. If you want Star Wars news, these guys are really tapped in.
Yeah.
So it's confirmed. Brian Muir is now back. So he worked on the original in 77, made Vader. He came back for Episode 7, where we see that Darth Vader mask.
Yeah. Presumably they sort of made...
I think it was him doing that, the broken and battered Darth Vader mask.
Yeah.
And now he's come on to Rogue One. But he's come on to Rogue One after all the stormtroopers and everything are designed. So I'll cut to the chase, won't bury the lead. I'm predicting that Brian Muir is now on Rogue One redesigning Vader. And I think we're going to get Darth Vader in Star Wars Rogue One.
And Rogue One, period-wise, is when?
Their story is told in the opening crawl of A New Hope. They are the spies that steal the plans to the first Death Star.
Wow. So we're talking possible cameos from, albeit with different faces, from the main leads as well.
I think what you'll see, I don't think you'll see, you won't see Hamill, you won't see Luke, you won't see Obi-Wan or Yoda, potentially, because they're in exile.
Leia.
I doubt very much you'll see Han or Chewie, but I think there's a good chance that we'll see Leia, albeit a much younger version of her, because this could be set 5 minutes before A New Hope. It could be set 5 years before A New
Hope. How are they going to play that? Are they going to CGI a mocap Carrie Fisher and CGI her face?
Or no, you cast a daughter, don't you?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You plug the daughter into that role, and then you can bring
How do they do that? Because that's going to be weird. She's also in this in Seven.
Because she won't have a very big role, will she?
No.
So she, you know, slap a pair of those Starpuff buns on the side of her head, and just stand her next to Jimmy Smits, who about now could come back and reprise his role as Bail Organa, and he's age appropriate.
I mean, I've had a kind of a future theory about this whole CGI, where it's evolving to. I can soon see, like, let's take Harrison Ford. Like, I can see it happening soon where someone says, okay, listen, we'll pay you royalties every time we do a Star Wars film. All we want is to use your face now. Stand here and record, like, all, as much voice as you can.
Yeah.
Our computers will synthesize your voice from what you've told us. And we can use your face, and we can make as many as we can. You know what I mean? Go back and make Harrison Ford any age. And, you know, I mean, how far away are we from that?
Well, they're doing it now, aren't they? With, all right, he's still with us, thankfully, but Michael Douglas was in Ant-Man, and they made him look like he looked when they did Romance in the Stone.
Wow. Did it work? I haven't seen
that. Mate, they pulled it off. They crushed it. It was absolutely flawless.
Because you see, when you look at things like Tron 2, and you know, the Terminator, the one with the guy out of Avatar, Sam Worthington, what was that one?
Salvation.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're looking at
the new Arnie ones.
Those films are 5 and 6 years old, respectively.
Yeah, the new one with the new Terminator, actually, the Arnie in that.
Worked really well.
They are getting there.
You know, I think you're right. I think it's going to happen, mate.
I mean, they could even say to Harrison, if he doesn't want to be involved, okay, we'll CGI in the next film with your age.
There is an actor that played young Harrison Ford in a film that came out this year called The Age of Adeline. This actor's name is Anthony Ngruber, and he's a really talented sort of mimic, and he did a lot of impressions on his YouTube channel, and one of them was Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And it bagged him that role as young Harrison Ford in that film. And it's a spitting image of Harrison Ford in Empire Strikes Back. You know, he's so reminiscent of that guy.
Wow.
I want him to, because they're making a Han Solo standalone movie. If they have to do it, I wish they didn't, but if they have to make a Han Solo movie, get Anthony Ngruber to play young Han Solo. He's the right age.
Yeah, you've just made me think of something. Wouldn't you feel a lot better about a certain character getting killed if you knew you was going to see him in a future film still?
Yes. Well, no, but maybe.
Mm. Oh, God. We've ruined it. That's it. I'm not seeing it.
All right. No, let's not do that. Well, I tell you who are going to be watching The Force Awakens, mate. This is a perfect segue. Andy would be so proud. $50 million worth of pre-sale audience are going to be seeing The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
That's
thought to be $100 million, isn't it, before it comes out?
Yeah, because that figure is now a week old, and we're 3 weeks out from the release in the UK. There's a pretty good chance that this is going to be $100 million in pre-sales before they even open the doors on the first screening.
Yeah. I see over the next few years, Avatar and Star Wars just having this endless jostle for first place. Because I know Avatar's gone off the boil, but there are so many Avatar fans, and I'm one of them.
Well, I am too. I'm there with you.
I think that Avatar is going to knock him, and then the next Star Wars is going to knock it, and it's just Avatar and Star Wars are pretty much going to be it.
Dominate.
You know, there'll be 3 month runs for each one, like there have been before. You know, how long are you planning to air Awakens?
I don't know how long I mean, at this point, I don't know how long the engagement's going to be, but I think we're looking at a May Blu-ray release date.
Right.
So there's quite a few months in there.
Yeah. You'd be able to, I reckon you'll be looking at least 2 months at the movies then.
I've no doubt. Mm. And I'm pretty sure that After the 17th of December, the rest of this year, if you're going to go to the cinema, you're only going to be able to see Star Wars, because I think it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah. In all the screens?
In every screen, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, that is unbelievable, isn't
it? It's going to be unprecedented.
Well, because it could tank if it's not received well.
It can tank. I mean, it's, you know, we see this. I don't know. I think Spectre was one of these cases where it pretty much went off the boil pretty damn quickly. And it does happen.
I'm not going to see it. Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Did that open too wide or too narrow? I can't remember what they were saying now.
Yeah, I don't think it opened very wide. I think it was, I think it opened in amongst some pretty bad buzz as well.
Mm.
But this, The Force Awakens, is getting nothing but positive press. Everybody's talking positively about this film. No one's dreading it.
Who has seen it in its entirety, apart from that lovely guy who... with us, you know. But I mean, who's seen it that has actually said, I'm allowed to say this is awesome, but nothing more?
Kevin Smith appears to have seen a cut of it. I heard him on a podcast a couple of weeks ago talking around the subject, because I don't think he was allowed to say, yes, I've seen it. But he said, JJ has built the Fountain of Youth.
Wow.
And he was extremely positive about what he'd seen. And he was reassuring his co-host, Ralph Garman, that JJ's done it. So,
which kind of flies in the face of the earlier quote you mentioned from John Boyega.
Yeah, it doesn't know how people are going to react. But then that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, there are people in there that are just not going to be happy.
Yeah.
With whatever happens. There are people out there, we know there are despicable people out there that got their panties in a bunch because John Boyega was black and they saw a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
They saw a black man in a stormtrooper.
Well,
we
discussed that before. I mean, that's all crazy. But that's thankfully gone off the boil.
It's gone off the boil, but they threw so much hate at it. So it's no way, you know, consider that this quote came from John Boyega himself. I don't know how people are going to react. That's his first experience of Star Wars. This talented, young, charming, intelligent actor gets both barrels from an ignorant fan base that don't represent true Star Wars fans.
Mm.
No wonder he's saying, I don't know how people are going to react, you know, because he's one of the lead characters.
Well, we were talking about skin colour because we were excited that it was Lando or Mace Windu's grandchild or son. Like, that's what we were talking about it. But
yeah.
That's the reason the colour of his skin should come into it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, getting fixated on the fact that he's a black guy and he's taken a central role. It's almost as ridiculous as saying, well, Rey can't be a central character because she's a girl.
Mm.
And she certainly appears to me to be our lead character. She's our Luke. Yeah.
She's in certainly most of the trailers the most time.
And most of it is Rey central.
Maybe, Mark, maybe, that this film has done the opposite of the prequels in that it's a film that the older generation will love that won't sit as well with fresh faces. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he's done it for us.
Maybe.
In which case, I'll go and see it 10 times and I'll pay him back.
Yeah, I like to think that you're right, because he is us. We're the same age group. We grew up with these films the way he did. Mm. If he's made a film for himself, then really he's made a film for us, hasn't he? He's made the film for the people that fell in love with it when they were little.
I mean, The one of the fears, I mean, I know you've got fears in your set here, but one of my fears is that I think if you put as many trailers as A New Hope out as they have for this, with as many scenes and different characters, you wouldn't be able to, because there weren't that many.
Yeah.
And are there too many and too much going on? And is it going to be too confusing? Is it like, you know, say the words Lost? I mean, know where that went after.
Yeah.
I mean, JJ likes not complexity, but he likes depth. And, you know, one of the things you don't need with Star Wars is too much depth.
Yeah, but they're not. They are very simple. They are very simple films, aren't they? Very simple stories.
Yeah. And they're pretty much, they follow the same kind of recipe all the time, don't they? Which is where this, the New Hope, the reference to the New Hope is coming out, is that it is kind of, yeah, okay, is he going completely safe by just making A New Hope modern?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, there's probably there is a temptation to look at it like that. It might be that he's just made a Joseph Campbell hero's journey story.
Mm.
And that's the way the original trilogy kicked off. But it could be that it's 75% a Joseph Campbell hero's journey story, and then 25% are a massive bunch of curveballs that he's going to throw at us and catch us off guard, because we're going to be thinking, oh, well, this is where the mentor goes, because that's where we lost Obi-Wan, so that now we have to lose either Luke or Han, because that's where the mentor is going to go. And then they'll throw us a curveball and not do that.
At the start of each trilogy, you do lose a Jedi, don't you? One of the big ones.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that there are going to be beats that have to be hit here. I wrote a big editorial piece on the site on Saturday that went up about George Lucas and how we're giving George a lot of credit now with fan theories like the Ring Theory, where we've sort of said he's using a very complicated storytelling technique where you tell a story and then Act 1 plays out and then it plays out again in the second stanza and rhymes. So you have an inciting element in the first film, and then when you come to the second film at the same point, you get that element again, and then the third film at the same point, you get that element again.
Yes.
And it rhymes out like stanzas in a poem. But I don't think that's true. I don't think that's necessarily what George did. I think what George did was he thought, I'll make Star Wars, and I want monsters, and I want a space battle.
Mm.
And then he realised he didn't have the budget or the technology to get him there. So a couple of films down the line, but he did have the money and the technology, he made it again, which is why we got Jabba's palace instead of the cantina, and we got a much more complicated assault on the Death Star when we'd already seen it two films ago.
Yeah, so, and when you think of it, no one sat there, no one said, hang on a minute, this is cheating.
It's just a retread of A New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think what we might be seeing with JJ is he's showing us, this is a rope-a-dope, right? He's showing us the left and he's going to give us the right, because he's showing us that he's telling Joseph Campbell story, and he's shown us that he's using the Ring Theory, and we're getting Rey instead of Luke, and we're getting Finn instead of Han, and we're getting Kylo Ren instead of Vader, and there's a planet-sized weapon that destroys little planets. It looks, for all intents and purposes, like the next rhyming stanza that will echo Return of the Jedi.
And so,
but maybe it won't.
Well, yeah.
The surprise, JJ's infamous for his mystery box. He's so tight-lipped about his plots. Maybe he's showing us what we're all going to assume anyway. If we weren't showing a single frame, we'd all assume that that's what we were going to get, another level on the Ring Theory.
He's a bit like Frank Darabont, in the sense that when he started doing Walking Dead, and I know Walking Dead is completely off topic, but certainly the writers of the original comics in Walking Dead, JJ loves to kill people off.
Yeah,
you know, he's kind of did it in Lost. He's, you know, Cloverfield, a lot of his films, and if you put that alongside the fact that Leia doesn't just look peed off, which she always looks peed off, she looks like remorsed.
Yeah,
she looks like she's lost.
She looks destroyed, doesn't she? And I think you're right. And if we just jump onto our hopes and fears, this will transfer nicely over to my hope and my fear for this story, which is, I hope you're right. I hope JJ is bold enough to take that step and leave a lot of hats on the ground. Because what Harrison said when they were making Return of the Jedi is, let's kill Han Solo. He hasn't got any story responsibilities at this point. Let's kill him and add a little bit of weight to it. And I think if JJ is bold enough, he will do that. He will kill a major character, make us wonder who the hell is going to go next, because we just lost one of the leads. And it'll add some weight and some desperation to that film.
It does, but if you take Walking Dead as an example of what we're talking about, I mean, for me personally, I'm getting really fed up with Walking Dead now, because I'm investing in characters and then they, like, oh, great, they've just killed it. I really like them.
I'm not up to speed, so don't spoil anything for me. I'm a weak guy.
I kind of haven't, so you're all right.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be a shock in Walking Dead anyway, would it? They're all snuffing it left, right and centre. But I don't want to be shocked for shock's sake. I want the fairy tale.
Yes, and that's what this is, isn't it? When all is said and done, Star Wars is a fairy tale. And it is about clearly delineated good and evil. And that's all we want. We want to be able to go in there, know that we want to boo and hiss at the bad guy, and we want to cheer for the hero or the heroine in this instance. throw popcorn at the screen. That's what we want to do, and that's good old-fashioned storytelling.
Yeah, and I hope we get it, mate.
I think we will.
We'll know this time next month, but and then
we will. We're getting so close, so close.
And if it's like Man of Steel, or I don't know, Prometheus, or I mean, these are nothing in the even the same league as what we're talking about here. But
yeah,
you know, if we're going to be so gutted, we might have to take suicide counselling or something. If it doesn't pan out, it's going to be the suicide rate's going to be through the bloody
roof. Oh, don't say that. Everyone will be cutting their hands off with their lightsabers.
There'll be no one in their 40s. The whole generation will be gone. Even the women.
A billion voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be like Tatooine all over again. Was it Tatooine? Which one got blown up?
It was Alderaan, wasn't it?
Alderaan, thank you.
Yeah,
oh, Tatooine was the Luke place, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, it will be bad if it's bad.
I'm sure it won't be.
Can we have a podcast like maybe kind of a week later if it's bad?
A week?
And just make it brief.
I'm going to want a podcast immediately after, I think, get my thoughts out there.
Because the thing is, I'm not going to see it for a few days. How am I going to not stop the spoilers? I'm going to not watch TV.
Yeah, you'll be all right. I think people will be pretty well behaved over this. I'm sure of it.
Some bastard will be standing outside the cinema going, Luke dies! Can you imagine?
Like Homer. Right, let's wrap this up. We're over an hour now, so any final thoughts on what we've seen since we last recorded then, Steve? Your TV spots and clips and what have you?
Too much. And too I'm much. Stopping now. I've seen too much. I'm just forgetting. Luckily, I have no brain, so it'll all be gone in a month.
Yeah, I know that. Well, I'm covering this thing. I'm sort of putting out about 5 or 6 articles a day, so I'm hip deep in it. I will see more. I'm very much enjoying this. And I look forward to the fact that when this is wrapped up and it's on at the theatres and everyone's seen it and the conversation shifts to reviews, we've still got another one coming next Christmas. We've still got another film to look forward to.
So what we've got? We've got this one, we've got Rogue next year.
We've got Rogue next year.
8 the year after that.
8 comes out, I believe, at the moment. Episode 8 comes out in 2018, but it's shifting to May. I think I can tell you actually.
I mean, how are they keeping people? They're not too far away from needing those actors.
Oh yeah, they're going to be on. They're going to be on all the time.
The game's going to be out whether someone is not snuffs it anyway in the near future, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they will, won't they? Because it's the natural order of things.
Yes.
Right, if you're listening and you're interested in how far out we are from these films, you've head over to talkstarwars.co.uk. There's a separate page for every film that's coming. There's a counter on each page to tell you. Episode 8 is in 547 days.
Wow. Wow, is that it?
Yeah. Rogue One. Let me just find it. Anthology page, Rogue One. Rogue One is a mere 386 days away.
Crikey. They must be quite far through pre-production on me.
Oh, the Rogue One's in production at the moment.
Wow. Okay.
Watch this space for more on that. Right.
Exciting times are upon us.
Let's get out of this one then. We'll next time we might do something a little bit different. Next time we're going to play around with the format a little bit so that we don't keep going over some of the same stories. But I'll work out what we're going to do. We'll do something interesting.
All right,
mate. Steve, where can people find you? Do you want to promote your YouTube channel?
Oh, yes. You can look at Calistine. It's very boring and completely a tangent to what we've been talking about. If you like insects and boring crap. But it's a bit of an environmental channel for basically wildlife habitats. And it's Calistine, Calistein.
Yeah, it is not boring. It's fascinating. And I will put a link in the description to this podcast. So you can just head down to the description for the show, click on the link and be whisked over to Steve's channel. Please subscribe to that.
And all the, if you do watch Mike, the reason mine's monetized is all the money goes to the World Land Trust, which is an awesome organization that saves rainforests. So if you're interested in that, head on over.
Yeah. Watch the adverts, people, helping pay to save the world that we're destroying. One Mac product at a time.
Yes. Right. I see bacon Russia. It ain't good.
If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Talk Star Wars. If you want to reach me in any way and you don't want to follow me, just hashtag Talk Star Wars, and I'm on Facebook / Talk Star Wars.
And I think you need to use your sound machine now, Mark. You've kept it quiet all night.
I've kept it quiet all night, and let's just say, what do we want? How do we want to go out of this? Big spoiler, ready to close out with. All right, we'll see you next time.
Chewie dies. No, he doesn't.